Book of Psalms, chapter 103 and verse 5.
Let's read the first five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I think it's a good passage of scripture to preach on today. In fact, I was wondering what I was going to preach on, and I kept singing this song all week long. You know, this song has been in my head all week long, and finally it dawned on me, you know, this is a good song, and this is a good text, and this has a lot of good things for the believers. You know, David almost often talked to himself. He often gave himself little pep talks. You know, it's not a bad idea sometimes to talk to yourself. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. See, he was giving himself some advice. There's another part in the Bible where David is also talking to himself. You know what he says? He says, why art thou disquieted, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. And you know, he talks to himself a lot. And there are some times that we just need to talk to ourselves about what God is like, about what His Word says. You know, we need to be reminded of some things. Look what he says there in verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. You know, there sure are a lot of benefits to being a Christian. There are a tremendous number of benefits, of which if we made a list, we probably couldn't name them all. But I just want to name some of them today. I just want to look through this psalm and to see if there's anything in there that we can use to encourage our hearts. That if there's anything in there that we can use to be strong and to know God better. Verse 3, it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? You know what we're talking about here? We're talking about the Lord God Almighty. The one who created the heavens and the earth. The one who is never weary. The one who gave us His promise that He would never leave us and that He would never forsake us. One who has never broken any word that He has ever said. He's always been true. He's always been righteous. And He always has done what He has said He was going to do. And this one forgives all thine iniquities. I want you to think about the forgiveness of sins. How valuable it is. But we have a lot of Christians in society today that are feeling bad about themselves or that feel like somehow they're not making it or somehow they're not elevated. You know, you've forgotten the very basic things about what Christianity is all about. And really, it's not all that confusing. It's not all that deep. Think about the forgiveness of sins and what a blessing it is. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Some sins are easier for me to forgive than others. I can forgive some sins because they don't bother me and I say, oh, well, no big deal. You know, yeah, sure, I forgive you. But there's other things that really touch my button and are a lot harder for me to forgive. And sometimes I'm not willing to forgive. I'm quicker to forgive than my wife. And since she's not here, I'll pick on her a little bit. You know, there's some times I said, honey, I said, please forgive me. And she goes, wait a minute. She said, I'm not done being mad yet. I said, you really like this too. Well, I said, if you're going to be mad, I might as well get up off my knees and go do some chores or something. You let me know when you're ready and I'll come and I'll receive the forgiveness, you know. And then when she finds out, it's not going to bother me too much. And then she, oh, okay. But think about the Lord God Almighty. He forgives all thine iniquities. Now you think about what we did to Him, about how we've offended Him. How we've rejected Him, how we've ignored Him, how we've walked out on Him, how we've turned our back on His counsel and on His fellowship, the times that we could have spent sweet fellowship with Him and we walked off and we've done other things, the times we've just flat out offended Him. And yet this promise right here, who forgives all thine iniquities, you know what I'm thankful for, first of all, is that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now there may be someone in this room who may just possibly think that there's something that they've done in their life that they've either done for so long or they've done that's just so bad that God either will not or could not forgive that particular sin. And in our minds, we're thinking, yeah, there are certainly some sins that God would not forgive, that God wouldn't touch, that God would just go ahead and send you to hell. But let me tell you, I want you to read a verse with me. Hold your finger here in Psalms, but read a verse in the 1 John. The epistle of John, the first epistle of John, over there by the book of Revelation, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, listen to what God's word says. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's every sin that you could ever commit. That's any offense you could ever commit against God or against another man. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It didn't come cheap, and it didn't come without a price. It cost God his very only begotten son. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It cost God his son. He sent his son to the cross of Calvary, and he shed his blood because of your sin, your rebellion, your wickedness. And now he says, whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
Listen, if you don't have forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because you didn't want it. Not because it's not available, or that somehow you're too bad to save, or you're too far gone to save, or you don't have enough willpower to be saved, or you can't clean up your life enough to get saved. Listen, all those excuses fall by the wayside. He said, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let me tell you another aspect of it. It doesn't say all the sins up until the time that you get saved. There are some people that believe that God will wipe my slate clean all the way back, but then from here on in, it's up to me. Well, let me tell you, I couldn't keep it back then. How in the world am I going to keep it now? I couldn't be right with God back then. How in the world am I going to be right with God now that I know his commandments clearer, and I understand many more transgressions than I knew before, and I understand his holiness better and my own wickedness? I may have been able to deceive myself into keeping myself then, but I can't keep myself now. It's not just the sins that are past. It's all sins. David gives us some advice. He says, don't forget his benefits.
Amen.
Sometimes we need to get down on God, and we get down on ourselves, and we think our situation is so terrible. We need to remember the benefits of what it's like to be associated with Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest ones I can think of is the forgiveness of sins. There are times when I have felt so ashamed and so guilty. And maybe there's one in this room today, you feel it today. You feel the shame and you feel the guilt. But that's exactly what the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, it does. It cleanses from sin.
Amen.
It cleanses from sin. You know, I just have a hard time in my mind imagining someone who will not come to Jesus Christ after understanding the forgiveness of sins. Look back there at the text in Psalm 103. He forgives all thine iniquities. He forgives all thine iniquities. Over there, and I believe it's Psalm 130. Look in Psalm 130 in verse 3. It says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. If the Lord should mark iniquities, who should stand? If the Lord God himself today decided to withdraw his offer of forgiveness, how in the world could you possibly get your sins forgiven any other way? If the Lord God would mark iniquities, if he would write it down in a record, and he would set it down as a permanent book, who in the world could possibly cleanse their sins? Could you do it by your own holiness? Is there anybody in this room that's so holy and so good and so righteous that they feel confident that they could stand before an almighty God, and when everything's said and done, use their life as a bargaining chip and saying, Lord, I know I did these sins, but look at all the good that I've done. Is there anybody in here that thinks that they're so good that they could use their life as a bargaining chip for their own soul? You see, it's a tremendous deceit. And that's exactly what religion will deceive you into thinking. That's another reason why there's no confidence in religion. I spent many years in religion. I prayed many prayers to the Virgin Mary. I prayed to St. Jude. I gave prayers. I prayed novenas. I fingered beads until I had just over and over and over and over again. I went through masses and I did all these religious things. And the best that I could come up with is that somebody would say, I hope one day you may get there. But there was no assurance. I know now why. Is because there is no assurance in the flesh. I can't know for sure if I'm ever going to see God because my whole life is dependent upon what I do. The Bible says, if thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. My friend, if you're not saved today, the best thing in the world that you could do is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
Don't carry that load any longer. You don't have to. Jesus Christ already did on the cross of Calvary. And today, He wants to make you free from that load you've been carrying. Is that a benefit, being in Christ? Look what He says in Psalm 103. He not only says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, He says, who healeth all thy diseases. Lyndall touched on this a little bit in Sunday school about all those people going to Jesus Christ for healing. And here we have a verse right here that says that He heals all thy diseases. And yeah, it's a big mistake. David's talking to his soul right here. He's talking about a disease that may go farther than any cancer that you can have in your body. We can talk about a disease that is more devastating than AIDS, that carries farther than any leprosy, any leukemia, any type of disease you can possibly imagine. And this disease is called sin. And it's in each and every one of our members. And let me tell you what this disease does. It destroys the moral beauty that's inside of us. It destroys our lives. This disease that's inside of us ends in death and separation from God. You know, when I got to thinking about this, and I got to thinking about the fact that God heals all my diseases, I got to think in number one about the fact that God gives us the forgiveness of sins, but He doesn't just stop there. You know, God's in the business of rebuilding lives. There were a lot of people that went to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He didn't just take care of their situation. He actually rebuilt their lives. I remember clearly a story in the New Testament about a man. There he was up there in the tombs crying and cutting himself. No man could tame him. They tried to tie him down. Nothing would work. They brought all the doctors and the psychiatrists in. Nobody could do anything for him. And the Lord Jesus came, cast out the devils, and the man was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. God gave him a new lease on life, and God let the past be in the past, and Jesus Christ gave him a new future.
Amen.
He healed his diseases.
Right.
Sin is a devastating disease. Sin will take you farther than you ever want to go. It'll do things that you never bargained on. But you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He can heal diseases.
Amen.
You know, it's true. Maybe He can't cut off that sew back on that arm that Linda was talking about. But He can do tremendous things. If He can get you off the path of self-destruction and put you on the path of righteousness and holiness, it's unimaginable how different your life can be inside the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 51. David had committed some sins that many in our book and our imagination, we think that there's no way that he could ever recover from these sins. He could ever recover from these errors in judgment that he made. He not only committed sin in not going to the battlefield, he committed sin with having sex with Bathsheba, and then he tried to cover it up by murdering a man and by committing other wickedness. And when the prophet actually came to him and opened his eyes and showed him what he's done, Psalm 51 was written after Nathan had come and said, you're the man who did all this. Listen to what he says in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Hey, there's one reason why your life doesn't change. It's one reason why you don't get very far with God. Because you're spending all your time trying to justify why you are where you are. You're trying to give all kinds of excuses and say, Lord, it's really not my fault I'm here. You see, this circumstance, and my eyes were closed here. Man, stop justifying yourself. Stop giving God reasons why you messed up your life. Just simply cry out to God and say, have mercy on me, O God. Be completely humble before the Lord. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Lord said, no, what you did was too bad. It cost too much. And it embarrassed my name too much. I'm not going to blot it out. But that's not what God said. He asked God to wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Look down a little bit farther in that passage. In verse 12, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Do you know that Jesus Christ can heal the effects of sin in your life? You think you've messed up your life so bad and you've taken it so far and it's gone so down that yeah, you might be able to come to God and get saved, but not much else is going to happen to you. Let me tell you, God has taken some waste cases. He has taken some wasted lives and he's actually restored the years that the locusts have eaten and he's made up for losses. And you say, man, I've wasted so many years. Listen, come to the Lord Jesus Christ now and see what he can do with the rest of your life. Somebody says, well, you just don't understand. I'm going to carry the load of this sin with me the rest of my life. Yeah, you may in some extent, but you wouldn't imagine what you could possibly overcome if you let the Lord Jesus Christ have his way in your life. We have shipwrecks all over this room. Men and women that have shipwrecked their lives and have thrown out the lifeboats and thought there was no more after that. We have living testimony and living proof in this room right here that God can heal the effects of sin in a life. I got to looking it in. I got to look thinking about the diseases that God has healed me from. Some of the diseases and many of them are much too personal. There's no way we like to expound our sin, you know. I'm not one who likes to brag about iniquity and likes to brag about sin. But I can think back and I can say, thank God he saved me from this. Thank God he rebuilt this. Thank God he cleaned me up on that and he gave me a new lease on this and he gave me a new chance on that. And I think this is a God who can heal all my diseases. He can not only forgive my sins, but he can actually restore the effects of sin. He can give me a new lease on life and he can do the same thing with you today. If God isn't working in your life, it's not because it's not God's fault. It's because you just won't let him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Oh, let me tell you, there are so many benefits to the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Psalm 103, he says in verse 4, he says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Human beings are tremendously self-destructive. We think it's cool to drink. I remember there was a time when I did. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. But you know it's self-destructive. Rots out your liver. Tears up your body, tears up families and homes. But you know, we like it, don't we? And there's a big industry. Oh, there's people all over the place expounding the benefits of alcohol. You know, it just doesn't get any better than this. No, you're right, because that's just about the time that men start puking up their guts, you know? It goes downhill from that time you get that nice buzz, you know? Everything else from down here is nothing but puke and bed spins and nothing honorable in that at all. But we're self-destructive. We do things to destroy ourselves. We think that we're having fun. We think that we're doing good. Men go out there in society and they sleep with women that aren't their wives and they spread AIDS and venereal disease all over the place and they do it thinking that they're free and thinking that things are good and things are right. Let me tell you, it's wrong and it's self-destructive and we have destroyed our families in America. We have destroyed our lives and we are destroying our civilization. Because we're self-destructive. We like to destroy ourselves. We don't care what it does to the body. We don't care what it does to the mind. We don't care what it does to the family. We don't care what it does to those who love us. We don't care what it does to God. All we care about is that we feel good right now. Not later, right now. We'll take care of later when it comes. But he says, he redeemeth thy life from destruction. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ and there will just be some natural things take place. He will redeem you from a self-destructive attitude. What about just our emotions? Your anger, your bitterness, your resentment. Man, I have met people in life that were so resentful. I was talking to a man one time and he was consumed with resent over a man that wasn't even alive anymore. The poor guy had died. And he was still so consumed with resent for this man that he couldn't live. It colored everything about him. And he was destroying himself with his own emotions. And I think, God, how easy that is for us Christians to get involved in the same thing. Oh, to be resentful, to do things that destroy ourselves. But he said he redeemed thy life from destruction. We'll kill each other. We'll sue everybody for every penny that they've got. And we won't care. All we want is what we want. But there's an even greater destruction than that. The Bible says that there's a destination for the soul that's without Jesus Christ. You see, in Matthew chapter 7, it talks about a broad road that leads to destruction. And it talks about how many people walk on that road. And it talks about what the end of that road is. Proverbs tells us that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end of sin is death. The end of sin is separation from God. And if I had the time, the verses that I could read you out of the Bible that talk about eternal destruction, that talk about a place where their worm dieth not, where the gnashing of teeth and the screams and the cries of those that are blaspheming God are heard throughout the whole place, where there's nothing but torture and suffering and resentment and cursing and bitterness and anger, and God's name is being blasphemed at every turn because they'll blame him. He's the fault of all of this. And it never ends. The Bible doesn't say the smoke of their barbecuing and partying ascendeth up forever and ever. It says the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. You think about that for a minute. Because I feel like some of us think that maybe we never were bad enough to deserve hell. But every woman, every child, every man, everyone on the face of this earth was a sinner. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death. That's not just your body dying. That's separation from God in a place called eternity. Now you think about this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Can you thank God today that he saved you from hell?
Amen.
Oh, my friend, I'm so thankful. You know, I used to lay awake at nights, afraid of hell. In the church that I was growing up in, the Catholic Church, oh, they were real good about painting flames in little kids' minds, you know. They had a lot of us scared. And there was one thing that I was afraid of. I was afraid of hell. And I believed it. I knew there was a place. There was never a time when I really didn't believe in heaven or hell. I believed in hell. And what was worse is I believed that I would probably go there. I think a lot of people are liars. Because you talk to them and you said, hey, do you believe in hell? Why, sure. You believe there's a possibility you might go there? Well, yeah, probably. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. Well, then you don't believe in hell. And you don't believe that you're really going there. In the back of your mind, there's some sort of a proposition, there's some sort of an idea that just possibly you'll be able to escape out of it. You'll be able to make it without burning. You'll be able to somehow slip into glory on some side street or some back alley. But let me tell you, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. But you've gone through religion, you've gone through your own way, you've thought you were smart enough to outsmart God, and you have devised your own way for getting to God, and it can't work. Because Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to cleanse you from your sins, and it's the only way you'll ever be redeemed from destruction. Christian, if you've been redeemed from destruction, you ought to rejoice every day of your life. Look at what he says back there in Psalm 103. In verse 4, it says, not only he redeems thy life from destruction, but it says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? You talk about the crown of a Christian. You think about this. Think about being the object of the Father's love. Let me explain a little bit about God's love and how it's different from our love. God's love is perfect. There's no spot or blemish in his love. God's love is not self-centered. God's love is not desirous of its own things. God's love is unconditional. The Bible talks about the love of God, and in fact, it says in the Bible, it says, we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
He loved you before there was anything lovely in you to love. He loved you when you were lost and dead in your trespasses and sins. He loved you when you were spitting in his face and when you were walking your own way. And the ones who put him on the cross, he could look down and he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he could love the young man that walked away and wouldn't take his offer of eternal life. The Bible says that we are the objects of the very love of God. Don't make any mistakes. God's love will not overlook your sin. God's love will not scoot you in through the back door. God's love is holy, and God's love is just, and God's love demands that there be judgment. But you think about the love that God has that's available to you. Doesn't the Bible say, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God"?
Amen.
I've had people in my life who've said they loved me, and I found out they didn't love me. I had a group of friends in high school, and I found out they loved me when I had weed. That's marijuana. They loved me when I had cigarettes. They loved me when my car had gas in the tank. Oh, yeah, they were my friends then. They loved me. When that little 72 Pinto was broke down and my pockets were empty and I didn't have anything, all of a sudden, they loved somebody else, you know? They loved Tom because his party was going on at his house. And after all, Tom lives in the foothills and he has a swimming pool, so we love him more, you know? Then I came to the love of God and I realized, man, I don't understand much about this at all. Oh, but I wanted to know the love of God. And I tell you, for the last how many years I've been saved, I've been rejoicing in God's love. Because God's love didn't ask what I could give to Him. God's love sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sins. You want the picture of Christ's love? You want to know how much God loved you? Take a good look at the sufferings and the anguish and the agony that He went through on the cross of Calvary for your sins, and you'll get a picture of the love of God. Recipients of His love. How in the world can we accuse God of not loving us after what He's done to redeem us from destruction? After what He's done to provide us with the forgiveness of sins? After what He's done to heal our diseases and to restore our lives. I tell you, it's a clear picture of God's love if I've ever seen one. Look like God's love. Like God's truth. Like God's way for your life. You know, there were a lot of things that I tried in my life to try to get the peace inside, to try to get this weight of guilt off my shoulders, to try to do something. And I explored a lot of options. I'm telling you, Eastern mysticism, there's nothing in there. There's nothing in there that's going to help your soul. There's nothing in there that's going to rebuild your life. There's nothing in there that's going to elevate you at all. I wound up unsatisfied. Let me tell you, drugs, alcohol, there's nothing in that that's going to satisfy you for very long.
Right.
Unsatisfied. Every place I looked and everything that I turned to, I came up unsatisfied. It didn't meet the need. But bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. I can say honestly and truthfully, 100%, I am satisfied with what the Lord has done and is doing in my life. I'm satisfied. What He gives me fills me up. The truth satisfies me. The love and the grace that I receive from God satisfies me. And there are some, maybe some in this room today, you don't even have a hunger for God's Word. You're not even searching after God. You know why? It's because you're still so full from all that other stuff that you're trying to get in life to satisfy your longing, to satisfy what you need. There's a hole inside you that is big as the Grand Canyon that only Jesus Christ can fill, and you're trying to fill it with everything else, and what you need is not more of this and not more of that. You don't need more excitement. You don't need a husband, or you don't need a wife. You don't need a new job or a new way. You need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the only one that you need right now to satisfy those longings deep within. You may or may not get what you want out of this life. There are no guarantees. But let me tell you, everything that comes from God is satisfying. You know, when we're out there on a hot day and we're working, you know, you're planting fence posts all day long or something and it's 100 degrees. You know, I don't often reach for a warm Coke. Warm Cokes don't satisfy on a hot day. They just make you thirstier. They just make you long more. I reach for a glass of cold water. In fact, not just a glass, man, a big bucket, as big as I can get. Isn't it amazing how cold water satisfies? How it satisfies deep down inside? The same way with the love and with the grace of God. It's the only thing that's going to satisfy you. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Have you forgotten the reasons why you bless the Lord? You've been getting distracted because you don't have this or that, or because this isn't going your way or that hasn't materialized for you. Do you realize that these benefits right here are open to every Christian? To everyone? And let me tell you something else about this. Is that everything that we've talked about here, these are so basic. These are so foundational. These are so material. Every one of these things has to do with what God has done for us. And this is the beginning of blessing. This is the beginning of praise. This is the beginning of worship for God. If you've been feeling out of touch from God or far away from Him or you don't know Him at all, it's because you haven't been concentrating on the right things and somehow you think that there are some other benefits that you should have got by being a Christian that may not be in this book at all. But have you considered the benefits of God? He told his soul, he said, "Oh my soul, forget not all His benefits." Israel would go through tremendous inconvenience in order to remember what God had done, and they still ended up forgetting. They would erect big old altars and they'd set up remembrances and they would go through these elaborate things where they'd write all these things on their doorposts so that they could remember them and they'd rehearse them to their children and they would still forget. Oh, my friend, I want to remember the benefits that God has given to me. And let me ask you a question. If you're in this room and you look deep down inside your heart, you don't ask your friend or your neighbor, you look deep down inside your own heart and you realize that you're not saved. If you're not saved, then not a single one of these benefits apply to you. In fact, just the opposite is true. If you're not saved, you will spend eternity without your sins being forgiven. You'll carry that guilt, you'll carry that shame, you'll carry that load for all eternity. If you're not saved, you will never understand what it feels like to have God actually rebuild your life and take the mess that you've made and actually give you some good and do something good with you to where you can glorify His name. You'll never understand that and you'll never know that. You will never experience or understand the love and the compassion and the deliverance and the redemption of God. Because that you thought that your own ways were more important than His. That you were so busy that you didn't have time to turn towards Him. That you had spent so long and decided you were going to go after other things, or maybe you didn't really believe the book, but let me tell you something. Today, right now, for you, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, I'm telling you, there is no mistake. You have no greater need in your life than to call upon His name and receive the forgiveness of sins. So that you can too can look up at God and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Oh, Christian, is your mouth full of blessing or is it full of cursing? You complaining about things that you can't change? You getting distracted with things that you got no business getting distracted with? Well, let's not forget His benefits. Let's stand and turn to number 249. 249. My friend, if you have a desire to call upon the name of the Lord, and simply step out of your chair there in the aisle and walk down to the front. We'll have somebody open their Bible and show you what it means to be saved and how you can call upon the name of the Lord and ask for the forgiveness of sins. You shouldn't go a day before you call upon the Lord. You shouldn't wait to try to clean up your own life. No, my friend, if you've gone a day without blessing and thanking God for His benefits, now's a good time to say, "Lord, I've been negligent at saying thankful, and I want to say thank You for what You've given to me and what You've made out of me and what You've done with me." The altar's open as we sing number 249 of God's Touched Your Heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for Your Word, and we're thankful, Lord, for all that You've done for us. All of Your benefits, Lord, help us not to forget a single one. Help us, Lord, to keep them fresh in our mind every day and to rejoice in them and thank You for them. Lord, You've been very good to us, better than what we deserve. Lord, we want to give You all the honor and the glory. And I pray, Lord, if there's a soul in this room that's not saved, Lord, that You'd have mercy on them and that You'd save them before it's everlastingly too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord bless you.